This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is program number two as we take a back-to-school look around Douglas County. Superintendent Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District, if I could say that. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. I always appreciate being on here.
So, overall, when did you guys start, this week or last?
Tuesday was our first day of school. Teachers came back last week, but Tuesday was our first day with students.
So, how did things go that first day?
Went really well. A lot of kids super excited to be there, and staff was real happy to be back in the building and just get that energy back with kids in the building and lots of excitement to start the school year.
Now, how many staff do you have in the district?
Teaching staff, we have 43 teachers, have counselors in each building, but overall, with all of our support staff and maintenance and kitchen and so forth, we're right around 95 employees.
So how many new hires did you have to do for this school year?
We had quite a bit of turnover this year, more so than normal. We hired six new teachers, four of those at the high school in various subject areas, and both of our sixth grade teachers are new to the district. One is a returning, coming back from, she'd been there, left for a few years and came back. So two new sixth grade teachers. And then we also were able to hire a, replace our elementary counselor this year as well. So seven new certified staff. And then we had about seven or eight classified sprinkled throughout the district.
Now, were any of those kind of late in the game, or did you get a lot of that done at the front end of the summer?
We had all of our hiring done when we left school at the end of June, or when kids left in the middle of June, we had all of our hiring done. So we were very fortunate to get all those on the books then.
And I know that's not always the case. Sometimes people's situations or lives or something changes and you find yourself a week out from school looking for somebody.
Those are terrible situations to be in. I mean, aside from the personal tragedy and dealing with those kind of things, but just bad situation when you're trying to fill a spot with a week to go before school starts, you're just in massive scramble mode and you're in that, do we change the schedule to match? Do we absorb it? Those are bad situations to be in. Fortunately for us, we've only been in one of those situations in my time in the district, at least at the principal and souping, but generally, yeah, we were very always happy to avoid those situations.
And it's kind of a stark contrast to not that many years ago when if you had an application and a good reputation as a district, you had a long list of people wanting in. Now it's a little tight.
Yeah, we used to have, open up a job at any of the buildings and we'd have 15 to 20 applicants and we'd have to go through and screen it and try and interview our best six or seven. And now, you know, we're fortunate if we get four or five applications for a position. And it's definitely been a change in the market as of late.
Well, and I know some of that's related to the pandemic and people kind of shifted priorities. Some people left whatever field they were in early. So in education, that left some additional openings as well. When you look down the road, though, it seems like less people nationally are entering the field of education, at least through the traditional four-year college pathway. Does that concern you?
No doubt about it. It's been an ongoing process of just, for the biggest piece in there is I think that the teaching the teaching staff across the state of Oregon, as well as across the nation, is relatively an older population, and those guys are all aging out, and we just are not finding as many new young kids going into the education, which is unfortunate because I think that, you know, being a teacher or being an educator, whether it's a counselor or even a support staff, is such a great, noble profession that has so many intrinsic values and intrinsic rewards that you get from doing it. And it's such an important part of shaping our future and shaping our world. So I would strongly encourage young people to not pass that up. It is hard work and it is difficult and it has its difficult times, but it's very, very rewarding. So we're hoping that trend changes.
You know, when you think about an educator's work, if they did four decades or somewhere around there. In fact, yesterday morning I found out that one of my high school teachers, one of my favorite favorite ones, had passed away. Well, he probably 80-ish or somewhere in that range. So that is not unexpected, but had been at the particular high school and in that district, I think, all of his career, and did some other things outside of the classroom with the reffing, I believe. But you just think about the impact that person had. I mean, it certainly had a big difference for me. And you think about times all of those years, that's a really influential role to have. And I'm not sure everybody realizes that versus just supplying, you know, products or something more mundane.
Well, I think it's one of the great things about education is you get to go in and it's every day is a challenge, but every day is a different challenge. And to be able to find the best way to relate to each one of the students that you deal with each day and find that way to impact their lives and to help them improve, and whether it's be learn concepts or learn those soft skills to make them good employees down the road and just good people. It's just such a rewarding career to be able to go in and be able to do that, and it's so challenging and so entertaining to be able to do that on a day-to-day basis, because nothing's more unpredictable than K through 12 age students and the things that they bring to the table each day.
So for enrollment in Oakland, are you up, down, flat?
Well, we are continuing a trend of being up. We finished last year around 630 students. We're in starting this year at about 670. Most of those additions have been at our elementary school. Our K-5 building is very, very full right now. We've closed three grade levels so far, and we have probably three or four others that are very close to being closed. We just have really strong enrollment right now, which is a good problem to have. Still a problem that leads to some other issues, but definitely a good problem to have.
So are you finding more young families moving to Oakland, or what's driving this?
We see a lot of out-of-district kids that are still families that are choosing to bring their kids to Oakland and be part of our district and the things that we have doing, but we've also had some younger families move into the area, which is nice.
Now, you had a bond passage last year. Talk about how that has evolved, and it was one that was sort of kind of hung on there for a while.
Yeah, that was an interesting process.
What was that like? How many votes was that?
Just 21 votes.
Yeah,
we passed that by 21 votes, and we had an 18 vote lead a week after the election, but we had to wait for those mismarked vote ballots that had to get corrected, the correctable ballots, and we had to wait 3 weeks for that, and it was sketch because there was about 500 of those ballots, so we really didn't know how it was going to turn out. But in the end, we got added three to it and passed by 21 votes, and felt really very good about it, and are very thankful to our community for supporting that.
Now, remind us what the financial amount was there and what you're planning to do with all this.
We passed the bond that we passed through the community was a $4.5 million bond, and we also got the $4.5 million matching grant from the state, the awesome grant. So we ended up with $9 million, and our plan is to build a multi-use gymnasium facility on the middle school campus up on the top of the hill. And when we get that done, we'll be able to get Washington School. We still use the Washington Gym, which is about 105 years old. We use that gym for our middle school athletics. So to be able to get that offline and to be able to have everything up on campus will be really nice. We're hoping to break ground. We're doing the planning phases right now with our architects and engineers and contractor that we have on board for all of that. We're in the planning stages, but we're hoping to break ground as soon as the weather breaks in the spring and hopefully be done by next December.
And you would probably like to see it go faster, but the realities of weather in Oregon kind of stop that.
Well, it's the realities of the weathers in Oregon for sure, but it's also the reality of, man, that process just takes a long time. It is a slow, painful process, and I always want to speed it up. I always want to get things moving faster, but that definitely moves at its own pace, and it's not as fast as I'd like it to be.
Well, and it's probably more important at this magnitude level to get it all right.
Yes, there's absolutely no doubt about it. And we're very, very conscientious of the fact that our community supported us in this bond, and we're using $4.5 million of their tax dollars. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything in the right way, and we want to make sure that we build this multi-use facility that has all of the pieces that we need in there, that's not overly extravagant, but still meets all of our needs and meets the community needs as well.
So what will happen to the other building?
Well, our plan for that building is Washington Gym sits right in between an open field that is down there that the school district owns, and then it's right next to the old Washington School, which is a set of classrooms there. Our plan is to donate the gym itself to the city of Oakland and let them take that on. They, because of the historical status that they have, they have access to a lot more grants to fix and up and give that gym the repairs that it needs. And then we, at that point, will sell off the other buildings, the classroom buildings. We'll sell that chunk off and sell the open field as well.
All right, a lot going on in Oakland. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming up at 1. The back-to-school series continues tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, and we'll be talking to the new superintendent of the South Umpqua School District, Erica Bear, on tomorrow's program. Jeff Clark with us from the Oakland School District this afternoon. Now, you mentioned things going on with the bond levy, the work that's ahead. How are your other facilities doing?
The other facilities are doing about like the rest of the schools in the rest of the state. They're falling apart, and they are showing their age of being as old as they are. But we do have a lot of exciting projects going on right now. We've have started down the seismic rehabilitation program that the state offers, and we were able to did all of the main cafeteria and main hall of Lincoln Middle School. We did that last year. We finished that last summer. This summer, we did the first half of the 5-6 Annex Hall, got most of it done. We have two locker rooms in there that we left as locker rooms, but when the gym is done with the bond, we're going to turn those two locker rooms into classrooms, which is really exciting. We have the bond project going on. We've already received a seismic rehab grant for our high school gym. We're in the pre-construction phase of that over the course of this year, getting set for it to go. We'll start on that next summer, and then we also have seismic grants for our high school, our elementary school, and our elementary cafeteria, and our CTE building. All four of those we have in the hopper ready to go in December, so we'll reapply for those as well and hopefully continue getting hopefully a grant a year and be able to kind of each summer seismically rehab and do a little bit of a facelift. It allows us to get new roofs, structurally much more sound, and then in some cases some flooring and some other areas. So really exciting time. We finished last summer. Over the course of this summer, we also got our bathrooms down at the softball field, which is something that we hadn't had in a long time. Restriped our parking lots, tore down our old district office building because we just built a brand new district office with the last amount of ESSER funds that we had from the federal government. So we were able to build that and get our district office all combined in one place so we then could open up. Had been stuck in different classrooms around the way to open that up for some students. So really exciting time in Oakland with a lot of big projects going on that are really giving our district a whole new look.
And for your district staff to be in one location is probably going to be pretty beneficial.
Much more efficient, yes, much more efficient. So we're not running around to try and find the other one in different offices and so forth. It's much more efficient, and it's a great building. Really excited about how that turned out.
And with you talk about these seismic grants, because there's not really, when you have the regular tax funds that pay for the operation of the district, there's not really a way to ever access that kind of money that you don't, that you get with these grants any other way.
There really isn't, and unfortunately, that's the why behind why all of the school buildings around the state have fallen off, because we get paid on a per student basis, and that to be able to educate the student, and that's we want to do that, and that's the most important thing in buying teachers and personnel and supplies and all those things. So you just don't have the money to put into your facilities, and if you do, you have it in small chunks when it needs to be big chunks to break into it and go. And because the buildings have deteriorated to the level they have, when you break into them, it's always much more expensive and extensive project than initially thought. So it's definitely a double-edged sword there.
What are the biggest challenges for you in this school year?
I think it's the same challenges as that we always have, trying to meet our kids and the best kids and families in the best places that we can to educate them and find the best way to help them navigate some of the difficulties that they're facing outside of school and so forth. So when our students show up in the building, they're able to have the best experience possible.
And, just all these construction things going on. Do you ever feel like you're like a construction superintendent instead of a school superintendent?
Well, I definitely feel like I need to wear a hard hat on a lot of days. That balance between has been difficult. We've been, neck deep in these construction projects ever since I took over as superintendent. And it is a hard balance to be able to still make sure that I'm doing all the things that I need to do to help in the buildings and help run the school as a whole, but also take care of all of the construction things. But I wouldn't be able to do it without great support staff, both at the district level and the building level, as well as in our maintenance, transportation, and kitchen areas that do a great job of managing their work to help alleviate some of mine.
Now, if I remember right from last time, and I might have this not totally right, but haven't you spent your whole career in the district?
This is my 31st year in Oakland, and it has been, I did about a 10-week span in Elkton, excuse me, when I first graduated. So I graduated in December and had 6 months. I did some subbing, and then I finished the year out in Elkton. But ever since my first official teaching job in Oakland, it has been 31 years now.
And so you've rolled through all these different roles. What's it like to have 3 decades plus there in the same district?
Well, it has been, it's a two-edged sword as well. I'm seeing very many of my students that I've had, and in some cases, students of students that I've had. But it's great, and I think that it probably serves me best in the superintendent role, in the sense of there's so many things that I've seen over the years, and I can answer to parents that come in frustrated with how a situation's playing out. It's easy for me to say, well, this is why it's this way. It's this way because 15 years ago this happened, and so we chose to do this, and we've got to here because of these reasons. So being able to have that experience and knowledge and expertise as to why things have taken place the way they have has really made it a lot easier in the has made it more easy, more easy in the superintendent role to be able to manage that.
For students that have graduated over the years, a lot of people go other places. Any idea of how many stick around Oakland?
I don't know how many stick around. It seems like a lot. We definitely have a lot that stay around Douglas County because Douglas County has so many great things to offer. But the thing that I think we're most proud of at Oakland, and I don't have an exact number for the start of this year, but I'm going to say we're in the mid-20s of our, so almost 25% of our staff are all Oakland graduates, and that just says so much for what we do at Oakland and how the process is, and we really emphasize being part of the Oaker family, and we have so many of our graduates that have came back to teach or be an IA or drive a bus or coach or do all these different things, and we're really, really proud of that statistic.
Any courses or programs you'd like to add in the coming years?
We're looking at, we've been using our HSS funds to upgrade our CTE metal shop and wood shop, and we put a ton of money and effort into getting that better. But now that we're almost done with that, kind of feel like we're finishing that off this year. I think we're going to look towards adding a culinary program of some sort to try and get another track for kids to look into that might be able to be a good career path for them. So I think that's a big one that we're kind of looking to.
Now, do you have any partnerships with Umpqua Community College?
We do. We have a ton of partnerships with them. We've started, their new president has done a phenomenal job over there. She is amazing to work with. We're very lucky to have her in Douglas County. Ms. Pockrank is just amazing. We're very lucky to have her. And so we've spent a lot of time working with them. We have kids that go over there. She's developed a Friday where they do a college class just on Fridays, which works great for us on a 4-day week. So our kids are able to go over there and do some some fire science and some EMT stuff and some mechanical different things. And so lots of options over there. And then we also do take advantage of many dual credit courses over there as well.
Now, and are you still coaching?
I am still coaching, going into my 31st year on the sideline.
And now, is that just basketball? Or?
I'm only doing basketball now. I've done a little bit of youth sports. My daughter is in the sixth grade. So in the past 3 years, I've done a little bit of youth basketball, volleyball, and such. But for the Oakland schools, I'm only doing basketball. That takes enough time.
Well, I would say you probably have a full plate.
Most definitely.
All right, Superintendent Jeff Clark of Oakland School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and hope we have a great school year.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.